Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully I'm all mic'd up and you can hear me. I understood that you couldn't hear my opening prayer this morning, so Daryl just checked my green card and then gave me a new mic to speak with. And so thank you very much for those lovely cards, those big green cards that you signed and wrote nice messages on for myself and for our family. Sometimes the love of God makes you do crazy things. thinking especially of what Mary Magdalene did when she went out and blew 8 or 9 months' wages on just a small bottle of perfume to anoint Jesus before he was crucified, before he was buried. And so the love of Jesus did a crazy thing in our family as well. About 6 or 7 years ago, we decided to sell up, go to Andrews and train for ministry. And it's been a wonderful journey. It's been a challenging journey. It's been a big relief for us to get our green card status. And so for me, gaining the green card means that I continue to have the green light to carry on sharing the Word of God and to introduce people to Jesus as their Savior and as their friend. And for those who already have made that decision, to hopefully encourage them to make their walk closer and more intelligent. So thank you very much for your support. So I had an audience request for a happy birthday to Bart Herrick today. Is Bart here today? There he is. Okay. Happy birthday to you, Bart, today. Enjoy celebrating your birthday today. It's amazing. You know, we've been here just over 3 years or so. And when I see the kids come forward for the children's story, I can see so much change in many of the kids. Of course, some of the kids weren't even born when we came 3 years ago. And it's wonderful to see that myself and Pastor Michael don't even look one day older. Ministry's good for us. Ministry's good for us. So that's good. Well, if I can, I could just ask you to have another word of prayer this morning as we share these verses from the book of Acts, which I'm finding personally the book of Acts is reviving my soul as I come into the new year, as I chalk off that I've done 3 years in ministry. Sometimes you can get pastoral fatigue. We found out this week at pastors' meetings that pastoral burnout is a big issue here in the United States and in the West. I'm not planning to burn out, but I need the strength and the power that comes from God to help me to continue to faithfully minister in a strong way. So let's bow our heads, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your grace and your strength. We thank you for the promise of the Scriptures. We thank you that as we live between the time of your death and your resurrection, the time where the Spirit was poured out in all of its fullness, we live between the Spirit's coming and the second coming. And we pray that as you speak to us in our lives, in our circumstances, that you will continue to guide and direct each one of us in a special way, from the youngest here to the oldest here, and draw us closer together, we pray. In the unity of the Spirit and in the mission of the church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's very interesting in the Bible that we have the last words of possibly the greatest Old Testament leader, and that was Moses. And it's called the book of Deuteronomy. But today, as we, as Seth read the scripture for us, here on the Mount of Olives, about 3/4 of a mile outside of Jerusalem, we have possibly the last words of Jesus to his disciples. And it's going to be this interaction that we're going to have a look at today. If you think about the love of Jesus as displayed at the cross, and thank you for sharing the songs that you shared that guided us and directed us to that, those thoughts. As Jesus died on the cross and spent that incredible Sabbath in the tomb and then rose again the next day, his work on earth wasn't finished. His work on earth wasn't finished. He had to reappear and regroup again with his special friends. And in the context of that friendship, he had to give them some more instruction, some more further clarification. Because guess what? Just like you and me, the disciples misunderstood. Still, the work of Jesus and the mission of Jesus. And so Jesus had to come again after his resurrection. And this wasn't a chore for Jesus at all, to spend some more time with his close friends to guide and direct their thoughts to the mission that they were going to have in the light of his returning to heaven. And so it's very interesting, if you want to find out about that incredible 40-day period between when Jesus resurrected and he, at the end of that 40-day period, ascended from the Mount of Olives back up into heaven. We don't really have too much in the scriptures to let us know maybe what the content of those conversations were. But if you look closely at these opening words in the book of Acts, you'll see that there's two main topics of interest, two main topics that Jesus talked to his disciples about. One of them was the kingdom of God, and the other one was the Spirit of God. And really, my main thought this morning in my sermon, which I'll share with you here at that outset, is this. I come from the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and now I have green card, permanent resident status in the United States of America. But God's kingdom is not a geographical, territorial kingdom. And as I was reading through and meditating upon this scripture this week, I came up with this sentence. The kingdom of God, Jesus' favorite subject, the love of God and the kingdom of God while he was here on earth. The kingdom of God is the rule of God set up by the Spirit of God in the hearts of the people of God so that they may do the works of God for the glory of God. Let me run that by you again. Kingdom of God is the rule of God set up by the Spirit of God in the hearts and minds of the people of God, so that they may do the works of God for the glory of God. That's the idea I want to buy into this year and for the rest of my life. It's very interesting as we turn to the passage here in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to be in the international version as usual here this morning. Acts chapter 1, and let's pick it up again here in verse 6. Have you ever been misunderstood in your life? Maybe it's happened today, maybe it happened this last week, but certainly when I first came to the United States of America, I made a number of bloopers, which meant that I got misunderstood quite a lot to start with, because there's a last week, I can't remember who it was now I was talking to. I think it was one of, I think it was Laura Dawe's parents. You can see Mr. Dawe is here with us today. Sorry, Mr. Hartnell is here today with us. I think I was talking to him yesterday, and we were talking about Stan's bad habit of stealing fruit, didn't we? Well, I can say that because Stan isn't here today. Stan had had a habit of stealing fruit. And in England, we call that scrumping. Scrumping. Who's heard that term before? Scrumping. It's a great word to use. Oh, good. We've got one hand gone up there. So, you know, there would be times in my early days in Michigan where I would be saying something to someone, then I'd see this really puzzled look come over someone's face. And I'd say, oh, no. And something in my mind would say, no, it's really not the same language. And then I'd have to clarify because I'd been misunderstood. And sometimes, of course, it works the other way around as well. Someone would say something to me, and my face, I'm sure, would go a bit blank or have a puzzled look. and I would misunderstand them. That's part of life, isn't it? Sometimes we're misunderstood in our families. Sometimes we're misunderstood by our spouses. I can remember my dad when he was misunderstood by my mum. He would just say what he said, but just a little bit louder. I found that technique didn't work so well in my marriage. But me being misunderstood is a very human thing to do. And so Jesus came into this world of misunderstandings and became misunderstood. And you see this a lot. In fact, if you look through and read through the Gospel of John, you'll see on a number of occasions, Jesus is saying something to the Jews or to an individual, and he gets completely misunderstood. One time he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again. People misunderstood that statement and said, what? You're going to destroy this temple that took 46 years to build, and you're going to raise it up again in 3 days? Misunderstood. In John chapter 3, there's a fellow called Nicodemus that comes to Jesus at nighttime. And he wants to have an intellectual discussion about religion with Jesus. And Jesus basically cuts him off and says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus and says, what, you mean I've got to go back into my mother's womb again and be reborn? Look very carefully through the Gospel of John and some of the other portions of the scriptures as well, and you'll see that Jesus was constantly misunderstood. But even though he was constantly misunderstood, he constantly ministered. He constantly ministered. And I would encourage you to do the same amongst your friends, in your family, in your neighborhood as well. If you're misunderstood, carry on. Still keep ministering. And so if we turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, the word of God to us today says this. So when they met together, this is Jesus and the apostles, and they met together, and we know from later on in this chapter that they are indeed on the Mount of Olives, one of Jesus' favorite places. The Mount of Olives, where Jesus sweat drops of blood to convince you and me that God loves us more than he loves himself. That same place, the Mount of Olives, where Jesus had prayed, maybe it was the same place where he had wept over Jerusalem. That same place that Jesus had anointed with his tears and with his blood was the launching pad for his ascension. This is a great picture, friends, I think, of what God is willing to do and wants to do in our lives. Turn the tears into a fresh experience, a fresh launching pad for our exaltation in Jesus. And so verse 6, so when they met together, Jesus and the apostles, they asked him, what did they ask him? Lord. Lord, that's not a bad first title there. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The disciples, let's not be too hard on them, because sometimes it's very easy to look at this statement and say, those stupid men, how could they be so stupid? How could they be so blind and ask Jesus about whether he was going to set up his earthly kingdom now? You know, all the disciples wanted to be the chief executives of that new kingdom. You know that, right? We know that from the scriptures. Now, even in the midst of the Last Supper, there was an argument going on amongst the disciples about who was going to be the greatest. Who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I find that old wrong ideas die hard in my mind. Wrong old ideas die very hard in my mind. And so let's approach the disciples' statement with some grace, looking in the mirror of our own experiences and realizing that we too also misunderstand the words of God. Human misunderstandings. In fact, the famous reformer John Calvin, in commenting on this particular verse, said, "There are as many errors in this question as there are words." Lord Jesus, are you at this time going to make us chief executives in your national, political, territorial kingdom? I see in this verse a focus on the present. Jesus, at this time, now. And I find in my own life that same thinking goes on. Jesus, in his reply, in his response to the disciples, wants to point them a little bit more towards the future. But they're very much stuck in the present. Notice the focus is on God to do something. Lord, are you going to do this? But notice the focus is local. The focus is Israel. The focus is us. Lord, not a bad starting word. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The English commentator John Stott, again with a focus on this verse 6 here, writes this: "The verb, the noun, and the adverb of their sentence all betray doctrinal confusion about the kingdom. For the verb 'restore' shows that they were expecting a political and territorial kingdom. The noun 'Israel' that they were expecting a national kingdom. And the adverbial clause 'at this time' that they were expecting its immediate establishment." Let's hope that this year we can sometimes get out of this, what I call present tense thinking. Lord, I want patience and give it to me now. Have you prayed that one? Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. The human misunderstandings in this statement are quite amazing. There is a focus on the present. There is a focus on God to do something, as if he's not already doing something. There is a focus on the local. There is a focus on Israel. There is a focus on us. And I love the love of God as demonstrated in the life of Jesus towards his chosen friends. These men were destined for great things. But when he went back up to heaven, he needed to give them a 10 days of prayer program so they could think about the life of Jesus. They could think about the words of Jesus. So they could look at Peter and bring him back into the flock. All of them had forsaken Jesus and run away. It was time for them to look at one another and say, "You know what, my friend, you be the greatest. You take the top position. You preach the sermon." It's amazing, isn't it, what the love of Jesus did in those men's lives, despite their misunderstandings. And I pray that that is hope and encouragement for you and me as well. So often I come to the Word of God with my own baggage and my own ideas, misunderstandings of God. Some of those misunderstandings in my life came in very early because I grew up in another denomination where there were some other wrong ideas floating around, ideas that meant that I grew up fearful of God, not friendly with God. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been blessed doctrinally, denominationally, with so many precious truths. Hope that we can make those attractive in our own lives, attractive to those around us, to let other people know that our friend Jesus is returning soon and that he's still on the lookout for people who want that friendship with him. It might cost a lot. But friends, it's worth the cost. When Mary Magdalene went out and spent 8 to 9 months' wages on that small bottle of perfume, it was a Holy Spirit prompted action. And that meant a lot to Jesus when he went to the cross. Verse 6 tells us of severe human misunderstandings. A focus on the present. A focus on God to do something. Focus, a narrow focus on the local. And then we have this verse in verse 7 here, and Jesus responded to their question. I don't know how Jesus was feeling at this moment. Here he was, the Mount of Olives, his launch pad, back up into the place of exaltation at the right hand of God, and here was his friends, so misunderstood, catching the wrong end of the stick. So Jesus said this: "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Jesus responds to human understandings with divine limitations. Jesus responds to human misunderstandings with divine limitations. It's not for you to know. I would suggest to you that a good New Year's resolution would be in your devotional time, in your time with Jesus, to say to him, "Lord, help me to know what you have revealed. Don't make me anxious about what you haven't. There is enough in here, more than enough in here, for us to continue in our walk with God without knowing all the answers, without being able to exegete all the texts. Could it be, I ask myself, I still misunderstand the nature of God and the nature of his kingdom and the work of his Spirit?" We'll come to a story a little bit later on in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul arrives in town at a new place, and the first question that he asks the people is not, "Can you rehearse to me the doctrinal formulations?" Not, "Can you rehearse the 28 fundamentals?" And not that you can memorize long passages of the Psalms, but he gets to a place, it's a Gentile place, and he says, "Did you receive the Spirit?" What a great question to think about each morning as we get up day by day. Have we received the Spirit? Jesus responds to human misunderstandings in love and patience and tells the disciples, "There are things that you don't need to know." Let's not have an unholy curiosity this year. Let's have a holy curiosity to find out more about what God has revealed to us in his word. Remember those words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 says this, talking about his coming. Jesus says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Have we as a community of faith often become preoccupied with the date of Jesus' return? The great disappointment that started our movement really was the great misunderstanding. We thought that Jesus was going to return on October 22, 1844, and here we are, a good number of years after that. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's clear in Scripture that we are to know when Jesus is coming. In fact, we are to know that he's near, even at the doors, and I believe he is. I believe that with all my heart. And Jesus' coming is soon. When we see the events of Paris 10 or so days ago, when we see the chaos and confusion in our world, when it comes local to us with the fall this week of the Union College student and the family coming in. I don't know what's coming in my life tomorrow. You don't know what's coming in your life tomorrow. Let's encourage each other to be safe, to continue to develop your friendship with Jesus, to work through some of your misunderstandings. I find that if I'm patient and I'm quiet and I take time with God, He reveals to me the wrong trains of thought that flash through my mind. The thoughts of fear, the thoughts of anxiety, the thoughts of worry. Jesus has a remarkable way. His word has a remarkable way, if you read it correctly, to quieten your storms. I hope you find that this year. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, Moses, in some of his final words, says this: "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." I would encourage you this year not to get caught up in those conversations about various conspiracies. Stick to what we know. Stick to what we know. There are divine limitations. I would encourage you to have a holy enthusiasm for what God has revealed and to step off the unholy ground of conspiracy theories. Jesus, in His love, in His desire for His friends to see the work that was before them, met human misunderstandings with divine limitations. And then Jesus gave them a mission impossible. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus gave His mainly Galilean disciples an incredible worldwide mission impossible. Jesus said in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Let me just clear up this phrase, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you," because we tend to think, I don't know about you, but me, I tend to think that, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to be walking along the street one day and all of a sudden, zap, kabam, pow, the Holy Spirit will come upon me. This is really not the idea here at all, friends. Study very carefully the first five chapters of the book, Acts of the Apostles, and you will realize exactly what the disciples had to go through in order to get this blessing. This was hard work. This was effort. This was facing oneself honestly in the mirror and facing God and realizing that you come up short time and time again with weaknesses. The Holy Spirit isn't like that. God isn't like that. He's too gentle. He's too kind to come upon you and zap you. But we have this idea, don't we? I don't know if it's back to our, supernatural kind of, you know, kabam, paz, wow, the kind of stories of the cartoons and things like that. The Holy Spirit will only be your friend if you want Him to be your friend. And He hovers over your head, just like He hovered over creation, just like He hovered over Jesus when Jesus was baptized. God never leaves you. God never leaves you. He's always there, hovering. But He's very gentle. I found that He's very gentle and speaks with a still, small voice. "I love you. You're mine. You belong to me. Follow my ways. Be wise. Be careful." But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this is a plural dynamic. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. Jesus doesn't ask you and me to do anything else but be His witnesses. That's to tell of what you've seen, what you've experienced, and what you've heard. It's the only thing. It's the only thing Jesus asks you to do. Be His witnesses. We have in our world today, don't we, running amok. The witness of Islamic fundamentalist terrorists. What a perverted witness for God. As the darkness in our world gets darker, guess what God's plan is? To raise up more witnesses to share the light. This here is a divine command and promise. The Holy Spirit's power, which is the power of love, which is the power of God, which is the power to make your witness and my witness effective in the lives of those around us. I hope you're not buying into this idea that it's just the pastor's job to evangelize the world, the local area. It's impossible. Each one of us who have been called into Christ's kingdom have been called into the kingdom as a witness, primarily to our spouses and to our families. And then in ever-widening circles, just like Jesus said, start in Jerusalem, then we'll go to Judea and Samaria, and then we'll go on to the ends of the world. The same for us, friends, as well. Start in your family. Start in your Sabbath school group. Start where you're at. The divine command and promise of the Holy Spirit's power that was to make the mission impossible possible. The mission impossible possible. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I was very impressed just before Christmas with a visit that we had here from a Piedmont member, Tara Horsted. She came and shared with the young people about God calling her to the country of Laos, near Cambodia. To witness, and she shared it with the children during the children's story as well. Maybe God wants to uproot you this year, send you somewhere else. Are you open for that? World is dying for a witness. If you know that you're in the right place at the right time, witness to those around you. But you say, Pastor Andy, it's awkward. Awkward isn't going to kill you. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been raised up as a witness to God's character of love, divine compassion, grace and mercy. And God is still looking for weak people, for people with human misunderstandings, who recognize divine limitations and who follow the divine command and promise. If you look carefully, you'll see in wrapping up here today that, let me run by you again those disciples' human misunderstandings. Their focus was on the present, their focus was on God to do something, and their focus was very local. But if you look at Jesus' very careful and wise answer, he pushes them so that the focus is on the future. You shall receive power. He knew that as he went, the Spirit would come. The focus is on the future. You shall be my witnesses. And the rest of the book of Acts, if you look at chapter 1 and verse 8, there's a table of contents for the book of Acts. You'll see that at God's initiative and at God's pushing, he took these Galilean Jews and made them his witnesses to the ends of the earth. We finish the book of Acts with Paul in the great city of Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire. God is fully committed to this mission. The disciples were focused on the present. Jesus was focused on the future. The disciples were focused on God to do something. Jesus put the focus on the apostles to do something. You shall be my witnesses. I would suggest to you that that's a divine privilege and pleasure, my friend, to be a divine human a human witness. And as the disciples focused on the local, Jesus blew them apart with a mission impossible. Go to the ends of the earth. To human misunderstandings, Jesus replies with divine limitations and a divine command and promise to work and to witness, not in our own strength and power, but in the power of God's Spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you.